think it's underrated too, because the even just as a human being, it feels like you want the attention, you want the credit, you want the recognition for this. Oh, you want to win the award. You want them to know you won, or, you know.
Even more scary or counterproductive is you want the enemy to know that you just did this.
Yeah.
And that's more counterproductive because now you're giving away what your position is.
Yeah.
You're giving away what you're doing to achieve victory.
And, bro, that goes deep because even if you're not like – because, no, you know, like, okay, if you want the enemy to know, right? That's like some, like, hey, this is me against you. I got something against you personally. So, boom, yeah, I got you. What? Kind of a thing, right? It's like a challenge almost kind of thing. But even if, like, just everyday stuff. You know how some people, for example, they'll start making a lot of money or something, and then they'll buy, like, jewelry or something like that. Oh, or something flashy, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe they have some online following or something, mm-hmm. and then they want to show their nice cars and their nice house, and they want to do all this stuff, right? Just to show, it's like a need, I guess, you know, for recognition or whatever. Bruh, now what you did is you provoked the giant now. Mm-hmm. You made everyone know about their stuff. Now this giant, whatever that may be, I don't know how that translates, but it is something where there'd be people trying to take advantage of that, people asking you for stuff, you know, people trying to use your XYZ that you just showed them that you have, by the way.
Voluntarily,
yeah, because you needed some recognition. Now they're going to try to find a way to use that for their advantage, and then it's like everybody too. Potentially, that's the giant. There's your giant right there.
You got to watch out for that. You got to watch out for your ego getting you to do things that are stupid.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Probing the giant or whatever. You know,
like even in Iraq, in Ramadi, we didn't want the enemy to know what was happening. Like, why are people getting shot? What's happening? Mm. You know, we're like, oh yeah, we're snipers. We got teams in place. No. Just all of a sudden, they start losing guys.
Yeah.
A lot of them. They don't know why. Now it's fear. And I mean, obviously, they figured out pretty quick.
Right.
Check. All right, so now we get into the proverbs themselves. The proverbs of the light infantry. Here we go. Light infantry operations. There exists a light infantry attitude which can be described in a few characteristic words: offensiveness, initiative, surprise, improvisation, and total self-reliance. There's a part where we could just end the podcast right now, right? Because if you take those concepts to the nth degree, mm-hmm. you know what we're talking about. But you won't get the full impact. Light forces are undaunted by terrain. Terrain is viewed as an ally, a combat multiplier for the light infantrymen. Light forces are terrain oriented. Very little terrain is impassable to true light infantrymen. Now, one thing that I was taught as a young frogman, when there's bad weather or there's bad terrain, that means that the enemy has to contend with it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to, and we are.
Yeah.
And so terrain, oh, there's horrible, steep, crazy hills. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. That means the enemy's not going to be on patrol up there. We will be.
Yeah.
Undaunted. Light infantry does its best when it lives on, in, and off the land. It must be comfortable in the bush or in Ralph's if you're sure. Coach Ross in L.A. for 2 days. that, you know, how much of that, okay, so let's take jiu-jitsu. How much of it is jiu-jitsu good? Because let's face it, if you play out like zombie apocalypse in your head, mm-hmm. you kind of think, hey, when it comes down to it, if I can beat people in fights, look, because we ran out of bullets, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get to a point where, hey man, it's going to come down to me against you.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that being able to survive that you get from jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, actually that's a real raw kind of form of it, you know, where I think we were just talking where you can have like a big group of people and then you and the group can be heavily armed and then have a bunch of knives and then have body armor or whatever, right? Just all the tools and all the whatever. There's like you can lose your weapons. You can lose your knives, you can lose your body armor or forget it or I don't know, whatever. But at some point, it's very possible that it's going to be, just like you said, it's me against you. Mm-hmm. No knives, no weapons, no whatever.
Yeah, could be that way in about an hour and a half.
I understand. And then it's like, then where are you? Is it night and day?
Right.
You know, or are you just business as usual kind of thing? Like, you know, I don't know. It makes me go back to video games. But you know how, like, you go, there's a game called Zanuck. Actually, I feel like I brought this up before, where if you get, like, this weapon.
Is this the super spreader?
Oh, yeah, that one too. Yeah, on Contra. When you get the spreader, you're like, boom, boom, and you can win.
Oh, it's called the spreader. I called it the super spreader because Miss Rona.
Super spreader, yeah. But once you die and lose that weapon and you go back to just what you're issued in the video game, which is what we call the pea shooter, bruh. You got to be good with that thing. Mm. And if you're not, you're just going to game over. That's all.